here we are, KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. Man, with that kind of music, man, I'm ready to move, groove, like the blues this weekend. Matter of fact, this is the local flavor with George and Ken, El Gato Loco. And you know what? Give me the news, George.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, man, let me tell you, it's just an awesome day today, man. It's Thursday. Here we are at the wonderful radio station. We need a little bit of money to run the show here and there. But you know what, George? It's been a wonderful, wonderful weekend. What an event. Thank you, Mary Stone, Stephen Lindsay. What a job they did for the Blues Festival. Okay. Man, I'm still hopping and popping, moving and grooving. I can't move because my knees are hurting from all the dancing, but I'm okay.
Well, you know, if they really did knock it out of the park, you know, and it does create kind of a problem for people who are overactive.
I'm telling you, man, I can't believe all the dancing went on, you know, and how windy it was on Saturday. What a packed house. What a packed house.
It was definitely packed up. You know, man, that's
yeah,
most
over 15,000 people over the weekend, you know. It's a lot of people in our little town, man.
And you know what? They were all gracious. Everybody pretty much donated, you know, for the cause. And, you know, one of the main things, George, Ken, it's been free for 29 years. Man, I hope they call me in for the 30th because, man, I might put on an outfit. I might put on an outfit.
And that would definitely be out of character.
Yeah, yeah. That's a really surprise.
But you want to know who stole the show? You want to know who stole the show?
Who stole the show, Raul?
Nan stole the show.
Of course
Nan
did.
Stole the show. And let me tell you, I'm sick and fiddle from here on when I get on stage.
What do you mean?
And I'm fine.
From here on. Started a while ago, whenever you and Nan showed up.
Oh, man, let me tell you, I just want to thank, I don't know what to say and how much to say about Nan. She pretty much set up all the...
Here you are.
Matter of fact, he's giving me a fiddle right now. Boy, you're on it, aren't you? I thought there was going to be something else in that fiddle when you pointed it at me.
We planned it, you know.
But you know what? I just honestly, and I'm going to be serious. I'm in the serious note here. You know, honestly, I just got to say what a great job that we did, and Nan, how we worked together. And that's the way it is. And that's what this community is all about. We all work together. The volunteers were amazing. The music was phenomenal. And we got to hand it to Illusion Band. You know, here's the local band. I mean, standing up, you know, starting off the show and everything. We had the plebe there. We had the people here in this community. And that's what it's all about. We need to keep our community the way it is, you know?
Absolutely. You know, there's more kind people per capita here than any other place I've been.
Right. Yeah, I've actually been an announcer on that, but more on the when they have Pickamania. I did the Blues Festival one time. It's fun to do that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. You know?
It's great. You find out more about the people, and you can watch how relaxed they can be or how uptight they can be before they get on stage. Because it varies, you know.
Hey, feeling good or being uptight, one or the other.
Yeah,
that's a good one, Ken.
Yeah, well, I've seen it, you know. People get... I mean, I've played at a lot of festivals, you know. I've seen... You know, the thing is, just get on there. You don't get mad at the sound guys. Because that's the last person you want mad at you.
Well, you know what? That sound guy was one of the kindest, one of the wonderful persons I've ever
They've
met. They've
always been.
And let me tell you, he did a heck of a job. Yeah. But you know what? I just got to say... celebrating the deal with Memorial Weekend was a very positive, and not only that, there were so many events going on, and the one in the Fort Baird, the National Cemetery, they had their event, and George, you should have seen George at the cemetery, okay?
Oh, you should have seen Raul.
I mean, he was just amazing. No. Whose part did you play?
James A. Lucas.
James A. Lucas.
Right.
What did Lucas do?
Well, among other things, he was the secretary of the Confederate Territory of Arizona. He was also a soldier in the Mexican War, and he was on the side of the Confederacy in the Civil War.
Well, I just got to give it out to Dr. Giese and Mrs. Giese on putting that together. And
Absolutely.
Let me tell you, Ken, it was a very well-attended event, and that was during the Memorial Day on Monday. From 4 to 7, And it went on past 7 o'clock.
Yes, it did. And it was run very well. And Mr. and Mrs. Geezy deserve a lot of credit. I mean, that was a hard thing to pull together.
I'm telling you. Well, you know what? I really had a good time. We had a lot of individuals coming up to my buggy, and I gave my little presentation, and I hammed it up just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Hard to believe.
Man, you would do that. I can't believe that. You're usually so shy and unassuming.
You know what? I was so nervous, just like standing on stage at the Blues Festival. I don't know if I could have done it. I mean, I was just losing my mind.
Nobody would notice a difference if you did, you know.
That's a good thing. Well, I got some really bad news, all right? Sad to say that we're losing Lexi Thompson, LPGA. She's the 11th. World player for the LPGA, and she's retiring at the age of 29. 29, she's retiring, but she's playing her last women's U.S. Open. So I just got to really hand it to her. I enjoy watching her play, but I can't imagine, you know, her her retiring at the age of 29.
Oh.
She has had 18 consecutive times. Her debut was actually in 2007. She was only 12 years old. Who won the 2008 U.S. Girls Junior and went 4-0-1 on the United States Curtis Cup in 2010 and was second in the 2019 U.S. Women's Open and third in the 2021 one stroke out of the playoff. And I remember that day, too. So I had to bring her up, you know.
Yeah, that's, you know, good. There's actual sports news.
Oh, good.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead. You know, I've heard.
On Wednesday, Dallas beat Edmonton in the West semifinals of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and in the East, New York beat Carolina.
What? So, I can't hear you. What'd you say?
You know, it's getting to be really exciting now, and we're headed towards the finals in the Stanley Cup. But. You know, perhaps more important, Wexford narrowly defeated Kilkenny, and Dublin beat Galway in the Leinster Senior.
That breaks my heart that Dublin beat Galway.
Well,
and you know what? Oh my goodness! Give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you. Doctor, you're looking good, my brother.
How you doing, Marahu?
Man, I've been thinking about you. I've been wondering about you, and I've been talking about you all in one same breath. What do you think about that?
That's a lot of hot air.
Man, it's so nice to see you. I know it's been a couple months since we've seen you, but you know what? You're here.
I'm glad to be here, too. This time of year in the spring is kind of tough because, you know, I'm on boards around the medical boards around the country, and then I have speaking obligations to do, and so I'm sick of New York right now. I don't want to go back to New York for a while.
I think George is sick of New York also, right?
Well, I'll go there if somebody's pointing a gun at my head. <That's right.
laughs> But I want to say, as Arnold would say, I'll be back and I'm back.
All right. Well,
good to see you guys. All y'all looking so handsome. Oh, and the new studio.
Isn't this awesome?
I love the new studio. I love it. I absolutely love it. This is so nice. I walked in, I peeked in, I said, oh, my God. Oh my God.
Looks professional.
I mean, it absolutely looks professional.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, even the guy looks professional. Look at him. I'm telling you, on the way out, he's going to be losing that hat on the way out. That's what I got to say. Hey, you looking sharp.
Well, I got another one for you. You know, I got another one. Now I know what you like. I'll have to get you one.
But you know what, Dr. Rosser, we have been talking a lot about you and around the community, and I'm so glad that you're here giving us updates on what's going on. So let me start off with, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Well, I was in Houston, after the first tornado attack and right before the second attack with my oldest son, Kevin. He's the only one in a professional related to healthcare, and he's a HR specialist in healthcare. And I just had my oldest son, you know, you have five kids and they all want one-on-one time. So it was his turn, Kenny.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear that you have a home run specialist.
A home run special. Yeah,
only Kenny can say that to me, you know. Oh, no,
I know. I even told him this morning, I said, Ken, what's going on, man? He's looking even younger, and we got to wish him a happy birthday. This Saturday, he's going to be 59 years old.
Oh, the big 5'9".
The big 5'9". Yeah. How you doing with the big 5'9"?
All right, yeah, especially since you just took off 20 years from that.
But it's your spirit, Kenny. We're recognizing your spirit, not the years, you see.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah, see, well, you're forever young, in my opinion. Young. Yeah, forever young. Yeah.
So you've been traveling around, man, giving out the messages. You've been all over the place and spreading the word.
Well, you know, one of the big things that we're trying to do, and I hope everybody out there can appreciate, is that, you know, physicians and surgeons aren't perfect. And
no, they're not.
There are complications, you know, and I just put that up front because most of my life has been about helping surgeons go to the next level,
right.
Reducing complications, doing new procedures. So I had a new article that's coming out in one of the national scientific journals called Coaching, What It Is and What It Isn't. And what I'm doing is promoting bringing coaching to the surgical vertical and as a way of being able to counsel and help surgeons mature to another level. Because all surgeons are created equal, but they probably won't be. But my goal, as far as I walk this path called life, is to do my best to try to contribute as best I can. So that has been a popular topic. It's a new article coming out that will be going global. And so there's been a demand for me to come and articulate that and get people to understand this concept and how it leverages in the surgical arena. So that's been the big thing. In addition, the other thing is that's kept me busy is that our children's program, Mini-Med School program. And so we had our annual Mini-Med School program in Cleveland this year.
Mini-Med School program.
Mini-Med School. In fact, what we do is bring these kids in from the community. This year was in Cleveland. We bring 125 kids in, and we set up 5 different task stations, all that doctors do. And we not only introduce them to medicine and they rub elbows with mentors of medicine and surgery, but they actually perform the tasks that surgeons do. Then there's a championship, and then we have something called Baby Shark Tank, where, you know, they are given a problem and they're to innovate. And so we had some unbelievable ideas there in Cleveland. We had people that were so enamored with this, they came from six different states. It wasn't just Ohio.
What's the age group on?
It's ninth grade till 12th grade.
Right.
And so I've been doing this since 1996, and it's continued to march, you know. And now we're getting ready to roll out this as a national program. And then in addition, I have something called the Drone STEM program that introduces kids to science, technology, engineering, medicine, and mathematics through my validated video game curriculum, which, you know, you may have seen in my book. I don't know if you have my book. I'll make sure you get it. I know that George has it. And we also, you know, had that in New York. And I'm glad to say, and George has been working with me on this, that hopefully we'll be able to make an announcement next month, because everybody that's seen this program, they come and ask me, why isn't it here in Silver City?
And why?
Absolutely.
And so I hope next month, Kenny, I can come and announce that, you know, that question will not be one high on your agenda anymore, because we're going to answer that question with it's here.
Awesome.
So we've been working on grants, working with several community individuals. In fact, I'm here. George has agreed to be on the strategic planning board for this. Even before we get any announcements for grants or anything, we've already started the process. I would like for you to please join. And the reason why, we need locals who know the terrain to help navigate the obstacles, Kenny, before. Right. You know we're going to hit them, right?
Yes.
Navigate those obstacles before we hit them. So we won't have, in a small community, misinformation out there that could kill this beautiful program. I can announce this, though, that our SAGES organization, which is what we call the Jedi Surgical Organization, these are all the cutting-edge surgeons, the surgeons who have assimilated technology. They're the Jedis of the surgical profession.
Wow, that is cool.
And worldwide, over 10,000 members, and I'm actually on the board of that organization. They have agreed that, okay, Butch, if your kids ballot out in Silver City, New Mexico, we will invite the two sponsors and three kids to our annual meeting, which will be in California next year.
Very cool.
They're going to ballot out between Cobra, and Silver High on the stage in front of hundreds of people.
Well, I'll tell you what, that's competition really beyond a pale. I'm so psyched by this.
That is amazing.
So I need you, because the first stage is a strategic planning stage. So that's where I need strategic folk in the community to be able to help give input. In other words, see the plan. I have my team flying in from around the country to demonstrate this in front of stakeholders, and we're hoping to build momentum and design a process where this can go smoothly starting in the late fall. I really want you on board, because one of the things I do, and you and I are a lot alike, and we're brothers from another mother.
Except that you're much better.
He's much,
well,
much better looking.
I think that debate is over. If we have the kitty bring that up again.
Oh, you know what? We're bringing it up again.
Oh, God.
Let's move on.
There's some things that won't die, right? But I also am an MC, and known around the world as being an MC for the finals of this program. I had an idea in the finals between Silver and Cobra, you and I are on stage.
Oh, my
together.
Goodness.
What do you think, my brother?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Ken, don't look at me like that. Oh, my.
Don't understand what he's saying. He says they're going to let these kids, like in junior high school, practice surgery on the stage.
Yes.
And you and him are going to be the people they're practicing on.
Yeah. I got to show you, we're going to have a meeting. I want to show all of you all the videos from these competitions around the country. It is so invigorating, inspiring of the kids. We have drone flights. We have the validated video games. We have my surgical simulators. It's just a lot of cool stuff. And to conduct what we call the Baby Shark Tank. It's amazing to see what these kids come up with when you present them with a problem. And I would be honest with you, George was one that touched my heart, but the thing that tipped it over was when my office manager and my nurse, Jennifer O'Dell, said, because she runs my schedule, so she knows what I'm doing. She said, Dr. Rosser, you got to get this to Grant County. And she said that there's a vice superintendent and a new superintendent that are all about these kids. The vice superintendent has taken them, trying to get them everywhere they can go outside of here to understand what the world shows. And it's true. If you show it, you show a young kid, what the possibilities are, that's when they do the most important thing, the most important step for success. They begin to dream that this could possibly be them.
Well, not only that, it actually gives them more confidence, and that's pretty much the key of it all. You come from a small community, and you think, well, small community, we're pretty much done. You expand their horizons, and can.
These kids can. That's my thing. These kids can. I need to put that on a T-shirt. These kids can.
That's a good idea.
And to showcase that was a big milestone to get this international renowned surgical society to say that they would embrace these kids. Now the The angels are in the detail. I got to figure the rest of it out. But I believe this community is going to rally around me. George has stepped up. There are others that have stepped up. We've already started our strategic planning process. Whether or not we get the strategic planning grant will not be announced. Well, it may be announced next week. I don't know. It may be announced next week. But we started basically 3 weeks ago. We started organizing our medical mentors because they have to be trained. We start talking to people like George. We start talking to other community leaders. And we're setting up meetings now with strategic folk. But I really need the strategic planning that you all can help with to help guide this thing in the right way. So I'm really happy about that, because when Jennifer said that to me, I felt so bad. And but, you know, I love to talk, but I'm a person of action just like you.
Absolutely.
I mean, you got to get it done. And we're on the verge of this thing. You know, we're now international. We were just in Toronto. I mean, excuse me. They have started their chapter. Hopkins in Baltimore, Howard in D.C., Cleveland Clinic. You know, this thing is ready.
The big guns.
Yeah. This thing is ready to just blossom, and we're now, Kenny, which the grant is about expanding the scale effort like these, and it's in the millions of dollars, and all coming from Little Silver City.
Well, let me ask you, is there an estimated date that this might be?
Well, this is what heaven looks like.
Okay, talk to me.
What heaven looks like is that this month we have strategic meetings scheduled with the Strategic Planning Committee, which I hope you agree to be on.
I would love
other,
to be on.
You know, thank you. And other strategic partners in the area. We will be holding kind of a think tank session and taking notes from that think tank session. We also are gathering all the background information, the academic validation for all of this, which I already have. Then we're actually, my team gets here between the 20th and the 30th, and we will be training the five surgical mentors that have already agreed to work with the kids. And then we're going to do a demonstration for the stakeholders within that time period also, like strategic planning committee, other important people in the community. Kenny, because, you know, like my dad said, it's easier to sell something when you got something to show.
That's exactly right.
And so then at the end of that process, we put together a document, which is the blueprint for phase two. Now, we're also applying for another grant that is due on the 26th, which will establish June 26th, that will establish phase two. Now, in phase two, what it will be like, we're going to be the mentors. We'll have a training course for selected students at Cobre, selected students at Silver. They will then go ahead and get trained. Then we'll have the battle royales.
Okay.
And we'll have purchased their equipment. So after we get them taught, they have their own equipment to continue training for March 15th in California.
Wow.
That's the plan.
Oh, man.
Now you notice, you know, it's all right to give people something to eat, but you teach them how to fish. That's how it's going to get sustained. The big thing of that second grant is to secure their own equipment. Two of the special simulators and equipment for Cobre, two of the special simulators and equipment for Silver High. Now, I'm saying all this now because I don't have the go-ahead yet, but we're saying what our strategic plan is. Now, there's a lot of potholes. Superintendent hates it, says it sucks. No, goes nowhere. The principals say it sucks. It goes nowhere. Where we don't get the teachers. They say it sucks. It goes nowhere. And I got wide shoulders and big feet. I can tolerate disappointment. But you know what? It's not about that. I would have tried my best. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to be reaching out and propel them forward in the future.
Wow.
You know, Raul, it's really worth emphasizing right now that Dr. Rosser, through these programs, has already accomplished really amazing things. You know, he's captured the hearts of younger people who were sort of drifting and saying, well, no, I'm going to medical school mm-hmm. now. I mean, all of these results are empirically verified. And to me, it's impossible to conceive of school administrators and teachers not being really excited about this.
I cannot see that. You're right.
This is exactly the kind of thing that our community really needs. You know, it's great to have people who we're kind of hurting on.
Yeah, exactly, and you know, that's my desire. You know, as you know, I'm publishing all the time, and you know, you've read my book, and we're talking about changing the paradigm here. People who are not of color, it's equal footing. And that's all people want, is just give me a chance. That's all I want.
No.
I just wanted, can you give me a chance just like the other kids? That's all I want.
This is where your life can go.
Exactly. And when they see someone like me, you know, and by the way, you would love this. This whole thing, this whole process is driven by music.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so yeah, I'm a DJ also.
Oh, man.
The boss, the DJ boss.
DJ boss.
but the music drives the entire activity. How many would you think, Kenny, if I told you there was 150 kids that were sequencing? Kenny's always so practical. Yeah, I can do that. Just turn the Wi-Fi off.
And you know what? We're at the bottom of the hour. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico. We can also stream us at gmcr.org. We got Ken George, El Gato Loco, and the infamous Dr. Ross.
I don't know. Is that a good term or bad?
I think it's a great term.
Oh, didn't do well.
No, you swim in the famous pool.
All right. There you go. But no, I'm so glad that, you know, you being here. How long have you been here already?
Well, they gave me a plaque yesterday. They said, congratulations, Dr. Rosser, on your five-year anniversary.
5 years.
I said, y'all sure y'all got that right? Really?
We were having dinner, and I was just finished playing golf. I remember that.
I have to say this. You're looking younger, you know.
Dr. Rosser.
It takes 5 years to shake off all of the evil fluoride.
You know what? You're right, especially with the latest situation there. It's toxic, man.
It's really
toxic.
I'm really hoping and praying and believing and stuff like that. I do see light at the end of the tunnel. I feel very positive. I think things are going to be moving in the right directions. And you, things that you're doing, things you're doing in this radio station, we can't lose.
And that's what people have to understand. Sometimes you think, you know, George, you're in a minority. But that's not the case. I think that's part of the process to make you think you're in the minority. Right. But no. This country is built on the foundation of a lot of good people.
That's what it's all about.
Both in the present, but really it's on that foundation of the past. You know, I just think back through history. And then you don't have to go through history. Think back to your neighborhood where you grew up. All the great people that served as a foundation of your community. That's the backbone of America.
And George always would say, you know,
absolutely.
Well, you know what? You know, the big elections and really the country and the direction of the country is built with local elections.
Yes, it really is.
That's how the Green Party got power in Germany. They worked in all the little towns.
Well, listen.
You know?
Listen,
if you
Kenny,
don't do that.
You got to know history. He's telling you some history.
That's exactly right.
He's telling you some history. And for people who want to bury their head in the sand about history, what's going to happen? It's going to repeat itself.
That's exactly right.
And I'm a history buff, and I just see such similarities. If you go and read the history books, step by step, we could lose what we have.
Yes.
And we'd be on the verge of not being what it's been.
Right on the line.
I would never believe that a whole party would end up supporting a person that believes.
Well, you look at the anger, you look at the hatred, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
It's just, I am just positive as I can be.
That's what I have
to do. I throw it out there to the community. I throw it out to my people. I throw it out to anybody where there is a hope, and I want to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, Ryan, just get out and vote.
That's exactly right.
That's the main thing. There are people who died for you to have the opportunity to vote.
Well, that's certainly true.
I mean, and when you start forgetting that, that's when it gets shaky. Yep. You know, we don't realize where we came from. And that's all of us. We all joined on that foundation together.
And when you vote, you got to vote for recognize the reality of how our system works, not the system you wish we had, but the system we do have.
Yeah, because we are.
Words of wisdom. My goodness.
Well, no, it's I said Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. Now, my wife's different. She's a staunch Democrat. You know, when I voted for George Bush, she said, I filed for divorce today. And I said, oh, my God, honey, okay, but look at the other side now. And I just couldn't do it.
Well, but, you know what?
In retrospect, he may regret that.
Well, he probably will. But it's all
My grandfather was always absolutely amazed at how the people in Germany and Japan just drank the Kool-Aid and wondering how in the world is that possible. But the interesting thing that came out of that is, you know, Reinhold Niebuhr and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, people who were resistant to the Nazis actually left a letter in the 1960s were influential to Dr. King. You know, there are good people. And as Dr. Rosser says, you know, if you pay attention to history, you can find the good people and help to try and stop the disintegration of our democracy.
And the fortunate part of it is that good people can let bad things happen. You can quote me on that. Because you know what? I saw it during the Civil Rights Movement. I saw good-hearted people stand on a porch while atrocities were done.
Absolutely,
Good people can let bad things happen.
Well, and it's especially problematic when the professional class gets in it. And here's where my biggest disappointment is with the judiciary and
there you go.
The legal professionals, especially in Florida, who just completely disregarded their oath of office to protect and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States. You know, here we have a presidential candidate who's promising to let out a guy who is serving life without parole for international drug dealing. You know, how is this even possible? And how can lawyers go around promoting things like, you know, he won the last election. This is a complete abdication of responsibility for people who are supposed to be in leadership positions. You know, when that happens, you know, it's up to everyone to just exercise their common sense.
Yeah. Well, you look at Texas, where this guy, you know, shot this kid, shot him dead. Okay. Rule of law applies, right? Went through the process, subsequently was found guilty, and then a governor overturns it immediately.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know what that says.
If they had honest people in the Republican Party in Texas, they would have all revolted and said, you cannot do this. But they don't have that kind of Republican Party anymore.
I don't understand. But, you know, and like I said, I'm an independent, you know, and I actually have to stay there on the airways and admit I voted for George Bush. But, you know, the fact of the matter.
Exactly. And you know what? And you're right. You know, back in the day, you know, you looked at the individual. You voted for the person that's doing the right thing. I don't care what color you are. I don't know who you are. I don't know if you're an R, a D, or whatever the case may be. We had the people that really helped everybody else out. And that's no matter how you look at it. So don't ever feel bad on who you vote for if the individual is doing the job.
Right. And I would like to thank you for allowing a distant cousin of mine to be vice president of the United States.
Now, who is that?
Dick Cheney.
Well, Dick. Man, well, you know what? I had to accept Dick because he came along with the baggage.
So, Dr. Rosser, I know, man, you are a very busy man. Yeah. People are always asking, just give us a little tip. They ask, when is Dr. Rosser coming back to give us a little tip about our digestive system, our system that we run with every single day? Can you throw something out for us? Because they've been asking.
I can. And it's a two-pronged thing. Everybody suffers from gas from time to time.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, it's a big problem now.
Everybody suffers from gas. I actually did a show with Dr. Oz where we dealt with gas and bloating and this sort of thing. They put me in a hot air balloon. They wanted to fly me to Albuquerque to the balloon races. The balloon.
For all that hot air, is that what it is?
Yeah, and that's what the theme. So my schedule wouldn't let me get to Albuquerque to do it there, so he did it in Orlando.
Okay.
And at 4:30 in the morning, I was out there in some field near Orlando with a balloon going up, and it was all to do a show about gas. So I get in the balloon, and so you got your script and everything like that. But here's one little caveat they didn't tell me about. Well, I'm 6'4". Usually the folk in those balloons are itty-bitty folk. Yeah. So guess what? My head was near the hot source, the blower, and I had to hold my composure by having a skin graft that needed to be put on my head while I'm actually doing this darn show. And it was all about gas.
No. So, well, you should have done it on your knees.
I guess, you know what? That probably may have worked. So what happened is that it came about, I just let people know that gas is the product of not only what you eat, because everybody wants to blame it on they ate something.
Okay.
And it gave me, you know, gas. No, it's how you eat. The tip I'm giving you today is this. 50% of the people who are suffering from gas and chronic bloating, if they would just slow down eating their food, because when you're chomping on the food and swallowing going fast, you're swallowing air.
Air. Good point.
You're swallowing air.
Isn't there...
And that's hard for us that don't have a whole lot of teeth left, you know? You got to slow down.
You know, what Kenny said is absolutely true. When you're edentulous...
Yes.
You have your teeth are not there.
Dentures.
And you have dentures and that sort of thing. That's exactly...
Yeah. 10.
10 times.
Okay, good.
Not 40. I have a cousin, I believe 40. And it would take you hours to eat.
I'd like to see him 9 on an apple.
Yeah, not that bad. But really, I'm telling you all, chew 10 times. With first of all, small bites.
Portions, okay.
You know, portions, you know, with each spoonful or whatever. Chew 10 times. And then don't drink water till you get ready to swallow. And that's it. Because swallowing a lot of liquids... When you're eating your food, it brings down air.
So bringing down air is the answer.
That's it. That's where you start. Now, of course, you know, of course, there's another component because of what you eat. And then that article is still online. If you can go to the Dr. Oz site, it's bloating, gas, and bloating. And it's written by me. It's a synopsis of what we did at the show. And in the show, you know what I did? I was on set in New York, and then I went into the homes of three ladies. And you know what I told them? I said, I know you've been complaining about this, and I saw your profiles, but open up your refrigerators. I went that could cause them to have gas. Artificial sweeteners can cause you to have gas.
Artificial sweeteners,
because of the alcohols that are in it.
Well, that sugar alcohol is what it's called, right?
Yeah, exactly, that could be an issue. But you need to get that article by... Dr. Butch Rosser, they didn't call me, but my God-given name, and on gas and bloating and from the Dr. Oz show. And if you can't get that, call our office, and we see if we can give you a copy, because I give this out to my patients, because it's a frequent complaint. So that's my tip of the day.
I am so glad you brought that up, because, you know, a lot of people do complain about stomach issues.
Oh, bloating.
You know, bloating.
Gas
and so on.
My pants don't fit.
You know, I pretty much keep an eye on my digestive system.
We know.
And
You notice he's always touting, you know, how perfect he is.
That's why I'm asking you to stop. And then I say, I got a professional here. He better help me out. That's all I got to say. But you know what, Dr. Rosser, it's amazing that just little simple tips like this makes a major, major difference. Like you said, exercise, how you eat, sleep properly, you know. And it's not the frijoles, right? It is not the frijoles.
Well, if you eat the frijoles in 2 minutes, and you know you're drinking a bushel of soda with it.
That's right.
You know what? I tell people, okay, there's a whole lot of bad things we're surrounded with, but they usually, you know, if you just minimize it, you usually, you know, God will let you get away with it. It's just when you overdo.
Well, everything in moderation. I mean, and everything should be in moderation.
That is the real key. And my patients, I don't ask them to be perfect. I say, look, it's a rule of halves. I just got through showing you all the bad things that contribute to your.
Okay.
If you can cut whatever the bad things are you saw in this list in half, a little goes a long way.
One other thing, okay, in a very, very short brief, sugar. I'm telling you, somebody was telling me yesterday, he goes, I just wish I could find a way to stop eating sugar. It's worse than doing a major drug or whatever the case. Well, but sugar is very difficult to break away.
It is, and we got inbred in a culture dating back to the 1880s with Coca-Cola, who had sugar and cocaine in the original Coca-Cola. You know that's why I call it Coca-Cola. It's cocaine. Cocaine and sugar. And the rest is history.
No
kidding.
And I work with Pepsi and Coke because they want to try to reform now, and they're expanding their non-sugar-based product line now.
Oh, okay.
They're really sensitive to that kind of thing.
On the soda.
And they saw it going the wrong way. So the biggest investors in water happens to be Pepsi and Coke.
Well, my goodness, man. I am so glad to see you.
God bless you, too.
Thank you.
And you know what? Hey, and I'm so glad because I've had a lot of individuals come in and say, well, we want to hear our tips and blah, blah, blah. And I'm so glad that you came in and gave us a little tip because it makes a big difference.
Well, I want to expose something to you.
Please.
It's our special new handshake that we have in our we have a Top Gun surgical squadron, okay, that I started around the world. So just how we depart. And we say, are you ready? And then you go, and then bump. So let's get ready.
Okay.
You ready, George?
Yes. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Yes.
Booyah! That's our secret handshake from now. Is it
tag George or myself?
Are
and
you
then
okay the weekend?
Weekend would absolutely be fine.
Because we'll just have coffee up at the coffee shop here.
That sounds fine with me.
Okay. I'll be calling you. And Kenny, you too, you need to join if you can help us.
Okay? Come on, Kenny.
Thank you now.
I like Canuto. I like Kenny. I'm telling you, man, George, he's just an amazing. I can't believe that they would have something like that with these kids on surgical. I mean, this is moving in the right directions, coming from a small community, and bringing these young individuals and get them excited about doing something like this.
Well, yeah, and it's done in a way which really resonates with younger kids. It's video games and music.
Video games and music.
Introduces younger people to the possibility of leading really productive, wonderful lives that benefit the entire community. I mean, the kinds of results that he has gotten through this are just absolutely amazing, you know.
I'm telling you, it's been a couple months since we've seen him, and I'm so glad he's like a breath of fresh air. And people do ask for him when he comes on the show and so on. And you know, health has a lot to do with it. Health care has a lot to do with it. You know, and here we are that promoting this, you know, prevention, and that's what it's all about. And now we have these young individuals.
We're going to have things like, you know, you can take a knife and save a life. You can take a scalpel and you'll be real helpful.
I didn't even ask him about the blues, especially, you know, because he loves the blues and he's actually seen a lot of the blues back east. And I should have asked him on if he did show up or anything. But
he's educated Florida. All of us on his connection with Tina Turner.
Oh, man, I would have loved to see Tina Turner back in the day. But I'm not that old, just like you with Janis Joplin, all right? And you with Benny Goodman. No, just joking there, Ken. Just joking, Ken.
I never met Benny Goodman.
You never have? You never met him?
No, I never met him. He's still around, you know. Harry James, none of those guys. You don't even know who Harry James
Harry
is,
James.
Do you?
Artie Shaw, you know.
Artie Shaw, right.
My wife's father enlisted Artie Shaw in World War II.
Wow.
It took the Army about 6 months to figure out that he should be in the band.
Yes. I would think so, you know.
Well, you know what, and I'm so glad we touched up a little bit about how important that we need to get out there to vote. No matter how you look at it, be very, very important. And I do want you to break that down right off the bat, George, because early voting is still going on strong there at the county admin building, starting at 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock, and this is pretty much the last week to do it. And give the details, if you would, please, there, George.
Sure. We're on Highway 180. It's 5 o'clock, and you save a huge amount of time if you vote early. And then in Baird, it goes on now every day from 9 to 6 until Saturday at the Baird Community Center.
And let me show you something to interrupt on that one, George. The last time that they voted in Baird, there was only about 5 or 6, and there was over 45 on the first day. That, you can tell that people are out there getting out there to vote. So I thought I'd throw the little statistics on there.
Right. Well, you know, I always enjoy voting on election day.
I'm going to vote on that day.
With those people, you know, and talk to people and say, you're voting for who? You're kidding me, man. No, I don't do that.
But, you know, if you do want to hang out and you want to talk to people you've never seen before, mm-hmm. Election day is June 4th. From 7 to 7, and there'll be all kinds of voting locations. Unfortunately, I don't have a list, but you know, one of the places I'm sure will be the Women's Club.
That's exactly
place out there in Gila on Election Day. So there's, you know, if you don't vote, you forfeit the right to complain. And there are a couple of contested races on the Democratic side that are really important. There's a contest over the Democratic candidate for the state legislative district, and there's a contest for the magistrate judge, you know.
And locally you do have the one for the county clerk also.
Oh, that's... How could I forget?
Nope. Yeah.
These are offices which have a really direct impact on your life every day. You know, you really need to understand who the candidates are, what they stand for, and make a well-informed decision.
George, this is going to be the most important election ever in this country. And I'm being very sincere on where democracy's at, what's going to happen. So please don't get out there. That's what it's all about.
Well, you know, democracy really is
on the line.
On the line. I mean, here we have one of the candidates whose fate is still unknown, on trial for things which, throughout my entire life until now, would have completely disqualified him from ever even breathing any kind of presidential aspiration. And for him to go around and saying that he's going to pardon Ross Ulbricht,
right.
A guy who ran a dark a dark website with the sole purpose of enabling all kinds of unlawful transactions, who's been convicted and who's serving a life sentence without the possibility of parole, to let somebody like that out of jail, what can you say?
Yeah.
It's scary. But
I always thought that the Republicans were like they were all for catching criminals, and they don't like international drug traffickers. Apparently, I got it wrong. You know, international drug dealing is just fine.
Yeah, I know. Well,
well, you know what? I just need to say this. I think we have good Democrats. We do have good Republicans. We do have individuals that are going to think about what's going on with democracy. It's the other party that's creating such a nightmare in this country, because you really look at, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on. It wouldn't have been happening if this individual was in court. This individual wasn't in the limelight, calling people's name and so on. So I think people are going
to
wake.
I have to say this also. You know, some of the leaders of the Republican Party in this state have really disappointed me. You know, it was really, really wonderful, excuse me, when we had the minority leader in the state legislative house say that he wanted to have conversations that were based on actual facts and with mutual respect. You know, that's his duty, quite frankly. And then we have, in Truth or Consequences, who's simply out of her own desire to get a name for herself, endorse violence. Yeah. You know, that's the kind of thing which really gets me. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have all of the blessings in the world to be in a position of prominence in your community, then by golly, you better actually do what you are required to do, which is to defend the laws and Constitution of the United States.
And there you go.
And Ed, I won't talk about the Supreme Court.
No, let's just leave that alone. Mm-hmm. We're at the top of the hour. This is KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation, and we're going to take a small break. And we are back here at KURU 89.1 FM here in Silver City, Nuevo Mexico, the best station in the nation. And let me just say, I know we were hitting at the bottom of the hour, but you know what? It's very important that please donate to this wonderful radio station, because, man, we got a lot down the line coming in June, July, August. It's going to be amazing on what's happening in this community. So please, George, let everybody know how important.
A lot of your time talking about the significance of local elections and the fact that this upcoming election is going to be one of the most critical ones ever in the history of our country. at this point, an unbiased, community-supported radio station occupies a really critical role. And we'll continue to do so after the election, so that the actual facts of our current situation can be broadcast throughout our area. Mm-hmm. You know, in the event of an outcome which I personally don't favor, I would think that a viable community radio station will be absolutely essential.
Absolutely.
So, in order to keep us on the air, we need the support of our community, and our supporters have been absolutely wonderful to us during Give Grandly, and we're very grateful for that. But if you want to what candle that we have to burn at 24/7, it's an easy thing to do. All you need to do is to go to our webpage, gmcr.org, click on a donate button, and you'll find, as Ken puts it, a bucket full of a plethora of ways to make a donation to our station. If you prefer the direct human communication, which for people in my generation is important, come on down to Karma Corner at 6th and Bullard, directly across the street from the food co-op, and you'll either find somebody in the studio, or if not, you can make your donation by putting it through the postal slot, which, by the way, is large enough to accept gold bars.
That's right.
Well, you know what, George,
we take euros, by the way.
Yes, we do take euros.
I just want to say, George, during the Blues Festival, there was a lot of interviews, very very pleasant, that we talked about the blues. We talked about KURU 89.1 FM and how important community radio is here in this community. Not only that, you know, statewide, nationwide, pretty much the world. And I hope that we can start listening to a lot of those interviews that went on.
Oh, absolutely. And on top of that, you don't have to actually interview Nan Fransblau. You can listen to her show on Rambling Radio Revival on Thursdays.
Rambling Radio Revival.
Between 2 and 4. One of the few shows on KURU, which gives proper deference to the opening of baseball season.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Talking about baseball season.
Guardians are 36-18.
I saw that.
Are in first place in the Central Division in the Eastern range.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It's usually the first place team in the Central Division has a record which is equivalent to the last place team.
Well, we were talking about Logan White yesterday. I wonder how the Padres are doing.
Well, actually, the Dodgers are slipping.
They had a losing streak of how many, 4 or 5 games?
Yeah.
With the Mets?
They're 5 games ahead of San Diego and San Francisco. I mean, their lead is diminishing. We can only encourage that.
Well, the Dodgers...
5-game losing streak.
The Dodgers, if they keep playing, they know if they play bad enough, they might move the team to somewhere where there's not earthquakes.
and how about the Mets? What's they made the comment disintegrating?
Well, look, who cares?
It's a tradition.
They're east of the Mississippi.
I know.
We got to hope that the Diamondbacks can turn things around a little bit. They're slipping too.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's because it's 110 degrees in Phoenix.
Yeah, but they're playing inside there, Ken. You got to go check out
that stadium.
That's the
problem. See, they've lost their manhood by playing in air conditioning.
Women's softball is a great game to watch
on
TV.
They're just amazing.
It is really fantastic. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day to women's
basketball.
Yeah, getting there. I know. Right.
You know, if you have a chance.
It's already that way with gymnastics.
Right. Well, there you go.
Well, look at what's going on. The Olympics are just around the corner, too. They're in the watch. It's just amazing. But women's softball, you got to watch it. The World Series is coming up real soon.
You know, I had the privilege of teaching a young lady who came up to me after the final exam and said that she was torn about with the Santa Monica running team, which is basically the premier place if you want to get in the Olympics. Right. Which, to me was a no-brainer.
Yeah. No.
But she was able to talk to, who's the guy? One of the purple people eater guys. He told her, look, UCF will be there after the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And she actually made the team.
Okay.
Oh, that's amazing.
She was really gifted. She was a great person.
You got to watch Tennessee. You have to watch UCLA. Arizona is doing phenomenal. And I just get excited watching it. So, we're up for some biggies here.
Well, we'll have to follow Arizona, see how they do. But Raul, UGA begins playing football on August 31st.
UGA. Okay.
University of Georgia.
I know. Georgia.
And they'll be playing Clemson. UGA is going to be playing Clemson. You know, the team that lost to Duke last year.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's 13 weeks away. But ironically enough, Western New Mexico University has not published their football schedule on the webpage.
They haven't done it yet?
Yeah. Do you think they're embarrassed? Yeah. One of the things that you're engaged in black operations so that we can get the schedule.
That's right.
Man, you had to sneak me in the last time, George. And you know what? I was scared. But you know what? It turned out very, very well. Appreciate that. But you know what?
You know, there are a lot of the local guys. Ricky Vasquez, Ruben. Guys played for Silver City.
For Silver City, actually.
They're
right
on that team. And then there's Gavin Placencio, who is outstanding at Cobra. So.
And you know what? Talking about an outstanding ball player, we got Martha. Martha, she played in burlesque baseball. And you know what? You make the show more than anything else, Martha.
I was trying to figure out how we were going to connect me with the sports talk, but there it is. the famous burlesque baseball.
You had to walk in to be the peacock about burlesque baseball.
It was a good, fun time out there.
And I hope that we can actually really put a lot together. But let me tell you, that was so much fun. A lot of people were talking about when we brought in Patsy and the little buggy and goes out there and does a cartwheel.
Yes, the superstar that she is. That was great. Yeah, great move.
But and our championship trophy is right behind you.
Yeah, it's right behind you, the championship.
I was on the team that came in second.
Oh, okay, you were the second place. Look at that. Yeah. Isn't that a gorgeous
cool. Jean Bucor, right, is from the A-Space. Yeah. Great stuff.
John is amazing. He's just great.
You know,
really good stuff.
The other team didn't have a chance because I was managing.
No, here we go. Never seen so much complaining going on in my life. But it's okay. It's all right. But I just want to let people know that Billy was the umpire on first base. She was kind of like the stealth person. You know, she wasn't mentioned or any of that. But she did a great job.
She did it.
I got to hand it to her. They didn't know who she was. I can't wait to actually put that thing together for next year. And really, it's just the only problem. It was a little hot on that stand, and we're going to have to change that.
It was warm. It's true. Yeah.
But let's move it back to February. Not.
I mean, there are a couple months between February and May. I mean, there's some other options out there.
I got to figure out that deal. But you know what? How have you been? It's been a while since I've seen you. You've worked for different kind of organizations, and now, you know, you're in a whole different for the National Forest Foundation. And now we're coming up this, matter of fact, this Saturday, the centennial's coming up for the Gila National Forest, becoming 100 years old. I mean, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Yeah, it's true. So, you know, as a lot of you know, I guess I should say I'm Martha Eggnall. I don't know if you
Martha,
said that right.
Well, I just said Martha. Everybody knows Martha. Martha. Yeah.
There's a lot of Marthas in this. You know, I haven't done the studies, but I would guess that the ratio of Marthas in this town is pretty high. In any case, I'm Martha Eggnall, and I've worn a lot of hats in this town.
Yes.
And
you've done very well in all of them.
Gosh, thanks. Organization called the National Forest Foundation.
National Forest Foundation. Okay.
Yeah. So this is a nationwide nonprofit that is congressionally delegated to partner with the Forest Service to do restoration work to protect and enhance our national forests and grasslands, to get people engaged with, you know, our public lands and with the national forest in particular. So because, you know, as we know, the Forest Service is a federal agency, there's limitations to what they can do, and the National Forest Foundation is the nonprofit partner of the Forest Service. So the NFF, which is what we call the National Forest Foundation, has been around for decades, and but there hasn't been a huge presence in New Mexico. And about 3 years ago, we got a New Mexico program manager, a real great guy out of Santa Fe named Manny Lopez. And then just this past fall, they posted for a Southern New Mexico program coordinator. And at that time, I found myself looking for a job. And I was real kind of lucky and excited to find this opportunity. So I started in March, and I am now the Southern New Mexico Program Coordinator for the National Forest Foundation, which means I get to work with the Forest Service and community partners to identify needs and priorities, implement projects, and do all kinds of fun stuff in our national forests.
So I bet $100 to the radio station that you're going to be there this Saturday for the centennial.
Yeah. A lot of the work that I'm focusing on, the project that kind of initiated the creation of my Southern New Mexico program coordinator position, is recovery work in the footprint of the Black Fire. So as we know, the Black Fire...
I was about to ask you a couple questions about that, but go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So in 2022, we had that huge fire out there. I mean, it's, you know, every fire is kind of bigger than the last one.
500 square miles.
Yeah.
That's a lot of space in burning our wonderful forest.
50 acres, yeah. And mostly in our wilderness area, which is what we're getting ready to celebrate. So, so there was some funding that came out of that to rebuild and restore some trails, some other infrastructure that was damaged. There's several different organizations working on the project to support the Forest Service. And what the NFF is focusing on is the trail restoration and some other infrastructure projects in the Black Range.
You know, I need to ask you a question. I had Stephen Fox talking about overgrazing and so on, you know, on a lot of the private land. And and really destroying the land more than anything else. Is there anything coming on about the policies about cattle grazing in the national forest?
That's an excellent question, and one that I don't know the answer to as far as the Forest Service policy side. The NFF is pretty specifically a non-advocacy organization because we have to be that kind of neutral partner of the Forest Service. So we don't really get involved in a lot of advocacy issues, and we're also not really there. I would imagine that there's folks in the organization that are working in D.C. and working with policy and Forest Service leadership on levels. That's kind of just out of my realm. But it's a super interesting conversation. We're contending with all these different threats to our forests, you know, including climate change and all these different pieces.
You know, and I just hope that you know, we can get a little bit more in detail on what's going on because of the overgrazing. And I mean, I have a special method evaluation, the inequities of it, so on. Mm-hmm. But hopefully that you can come back and we can have a little bit more answers to it, because it's very important to keep this wonderful forest that we have. And also, you know, this public land, because you're looking at about 3/4 of this whole county is actually on the special method evaluation. And it is such an inequity, but we'll guard. And I have 3.3 million acres that I can just wander around and get lost.
That's a big backyard, Raul. Yeah, I want to tell you something more about what we're doing to celebrate this year.
I would love to hear
centennial.
That.
So the National Forest Foundation has partnered with the Open Space Brewery to do beer that is called the Gila Centennial. It's a West Coast IPA brewed with 100% centennial hops. There's a kind of hop that's called centennial. They're from the Northwest. It's not, you know, they're not local hops, but they are centennial hops. And we are actually down there at the Earth Day talking with Alexa and Matt from Open Space and some of the Forest Service partners that I work with. And the idea of doing a Gila Centennial brew came up. And those guys over at Open Space are so cool and flexible and on it that
George was there when we did the Chunkla beer. I'm telling you, we had the Chunkla beer, and they're going to you know, helping us out on that one. Then I got to say, Alexa, I know you're listening, but boy, she's competitive. She played at the burlesque baseball more than anything.
Yeah,
and then
true.
She actually brought up the deal about the frozen rope, you know, for burlesque baseball. So they're very involved with the community. Yeah. And like I said, they just love the hiking. They love the disc golfing that goes down there in Fort Baird. They're a very big part of this community.
Yep, it's true. So they brewed this beer. Today is the beer release. So the very first pour of the Gila Centennial
today
is going to be this afternoon at 2 p.m. I'm going to be over there with our table for NFF and some fun giveaways.
And where is this going to be at?
At the Open Space Brewery.
At Santa Clara. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
And we'll be there for the first pour at 2 p.m. And then we'll do a toast around 5. And it's so awesome. For this special Gila Send to the Black Fire Recovery Project.
Oh, that is awesome. Mm-hmm. And is Luke Cohen going to be there from the Gila Wild?
I sure hope so. I hope he's listening, and I hope he gets himself over there.
He's still crying because he didn't play at the burlesque baseball. He was crying because he didn't make it. And you know what? They're still going to be next year, all right?
Yeah, I saw his name on the list and thought I might finally get to meet him because I've seen his name floating around but haven't.
That's going to be happening today there in Santa Clara, right in the armory, right in the back of the armory. So
true story.
The location on that. You know what, Martha? I'm so glad that you're here, and I know you've been part of just about everything in this community, and that's what it's all about, you know. And you've always been very successful on everything that you do, and you know, and you're so ingrained with the community, and you help out on just about anything.
I sure do love this community, and that's kind of part of why I felt so lucky to have this opportunity as the Southern New Mexico Program Coordinator. I got to really be, you know, and they're advertising nationwide, and they were, you know, hoping they could find someone who'd be willing to relocate to Silver City or Las Cruces or something. And so I was like, well, I'm not leaving, and I'd sure love to do this work. So getting to put, you know, energy and investment back into this landscape and this community that I care so much about is pretty awesome.
And you have stars on your cheeks.
And I do tend to put some sparkles on my cheeks. It's
stars.
True.
Stars.
Stars, yes.
I get calls like you wouldn't believe about coming on this show. And, you know, and I think we're doing a good job here in this wonderful radio station. And it's been a while since you've been on.
True. True story.
And I guess next one, she's going to be saving the planet with bioreactors or something. I don't know. You know, what's going to be the next?
That's Mike and Carol Ann. But yeah, I'm sure hoping there's going to be opportunity to partner with those guys. And that's part of what I'm excited about in this position, is finding folks that are engaged in these kinds of, you know, in work to enhance our landscape, to make us more drought resilient, to, you know, reforesting and supporting the kind of health of the ecosystems that we have that support the biodiversity and the life that's around here. So that's what I'm really looking for.
How is reforesting going out there in the 500 square miles?
You know, at this point, there's a lot of the landscape that is still stabilizing. I've gotten myself out in the burn scar a little bit. I'm sure it'll be a lot more over these next couple years. But something important to keep in mind is that, you know, you look at this big, you know, 325-acre footprint, and it's huge. But within that footprint, you really have a mosaic of burn severity. So mm-hmm. there are areas that burn real hot, and that's that kind of moonscape that you're imagining. Mm-hmm. And then there's areas that, you know, had really lower impact, and areas that had, you know, what we call healthy burns. So there's a lot of different, it's a real patchwork going on in the actual area, which is, you know, which is great, really, because that much of a moonscape would be devastating. And so I think it's going as good as it can. At this point, there's a lot. We're in a lot of kind of initial assessment phase. The BCI, Conservation International, is the nonprofit that is working on doing watershed work in this recovery area. And so they are doing a huge assessment and doing what are called RAPs, which are watershed plans for that whole area. I think there's something like 26 watersheds or something, because it's, you know, in that, the Continental Divide Trail goes right through it. So at this point, we're getting all the pieces lined up so that we'll be able to do restoration work in that area there's a lot of work to do, and we're setting ourselves up to be able to, you know, be working on it for a while.
So are there events this weekend?
And so this weekend is really the centennial celebration at Gough Park. That's the one I'm doing. There's so much going on. And
right, because there's one. There's something over at the Black Ridge Lodge.
Have a talk on Saturday, I think, with maybe the native plant. So, or the Audubon. So there's all kinds of things happening, and I would really suggest folks go on the Forest Service has a web page where they have their calendar of events. And that has a lot of pieces, and there's a lot of other things coming up, too. So,
great.
Well, my goodness. Well, you know what, Martha? I really appreciate you coming in. Uh-huh. I know you're in and out, and you're busy all the time and practicing her baseball swing.
Oh, yes.
And I'm kind of excited about this next year, and hopefully that the event is going to be having down at Gough Park. We're going to definitely see you there at your booth.
Great.
And please go talk to her, ask her a bunch of questions, and she'll know all the answers.
All of them. Come to Open Space today.
If you
manage to get yourself out there sometime between 2, and I'll probably be there till about 5 or 6. Although the centennial brew will be on tap until it's gone. So it doesn't have to be today.
Well, thank you very much, Martha. I appreciate it. And thank you for this, these little stickers. And we're going to stay in, communication with each other. And hopefully that get you back on, back on the show, if you
that
don't mind.
That sounds great. Yeah, for sure. There's going to be lots. You know, I'm in it for the long haul, so there's going to be lots of projects. And I'm sure this will be a great place to talk about the work we're doing out in the forest.
Well, thank you very much, Martha.
When you do show up, it definitely enhances the overall optimism and high quality of the radio station.
Oh.
You know, if you don't show up,
goodness.
You know, I don't want to try and inflict guilt on you, but, you know, we really need you.
Well, I'll tell you, all you got to do.
Okay. You'll have a private invitation, okay?
All right, thanks.
Foundation, and I'm telling you, man, she's been on the show, does a fantastic job in everything that she does here, so we'll get things going. So thank you very much, Martha. Appreciate it. George, let me just tell you, this is like the revolving door with a lot of guests, and I'm so glad that we do this, you know, because people want to know what's going on in this community.
Yeah, well, one of the things is